Grace be ours and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I share with you these words from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." And I'm also going to share with you the parable explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is God's word. You may be seated. I was having lunch lately with a retired pastor, and I was putting on my normal heavy dose of pepper when he just happened to mention the little creatures that live on the black pepper flakes, and the fork screeched to a halt about halfway to my mouth. He went on to explain how he had to actually stop eating black pepper after his heart surgery because it was going to compromise his recovery. I Googled all of this later and found out what he was saying was absolutely true. Now that I know that pepper is not the pure condiment I thought it was, this affected my use of pepper. Today, Jesus reveals to us that the church on earth is not the pure body that we might think it is or that we might want it to be. That will affect our use of it. First, it will cause us to keep an eye on those people who are around us. I'm reminded of how the sponsor system developed in the early church. You know, of course, how moms and dads knew that they might die at any time, so they wanted to make sure that there were other Christians, solid Christians, who would take good spiritual and physical care of their children. But there's something else that sponsors did. They were also assigned to a catechumen, someone who was planning to become part of the Christian church. They were to tag along with them for a while before they were exposed to the greater church. They were afraid of spies, people who would infiltrate the church for the purpose of destroying it. Do we need to fear unbelievers among us? We know that they're here. They're at Mount Olive, at St. Paul's. They're in the ELS and the WELS. They're at Bethany and at Martin Luther College. They're here at chapel this morning. People who think that they are secure in their own right and who just can't imagine that Jesus is who he claims to be. Now, perhaps these people aren't actually out to hurt us, but Jesus doesn't pull any punches when he describes them as sons and daughters of the evil one and describes them as causing sin and doing evil. They will be a temptation to believers and a hindrance to their ministry. Peter, for instance, I don't believe he intended to hurt Jesus when he told him, "You're not going to go down to Jerusalem. That place is too dangerous." He was trying to help Jesus. But what he was suggesting was entirely against God's plan. And so Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." So we do need to watch out for, be concerned about the weeds among us. But most of all, we need to be concerned for those weeds. You see, they're in the gravest danger. Apart from Jesus, they don't have salvation. Jesus wept for those who resisted the Holy Spirit while he taught among them and did miracles among them. Paul writes, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt." Hypocrites, make-believe Christians are not safe in the embrace of the church. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead and went to hell, even though their names were on the roster of the Jerusalem church and were probably held in very high regard. So you and I need to keep our eyes out for the weeds, not so much so they don't hurt us, but so that we might help them. They need a Savior. There is only one. They need our love. Our love that will provide and persist with God's word, telling them about Jesus, his perfect life that gains for them the righteousness that they need, that God demands, and his innocent death that provides them the forgiveness for their sins. Second, finding out that there have been weeds that have infiltrated the wheat in the church on earth will affect our use of the church by causing us to keep an eye on ourselves. I'm going to try to be as frank with you today as Jesus is. I know a father who has determined not to send his child to Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School. And frankly, I struggle to debate his reasoning. Right now, he knows more MVL alumni who do not go to church anymore than do. I've sat down with a couple of them, and frankly, I am shocked at their security, since they aren't making use of the means of grace anymore. They aren't hearing God's word, they're not reading the Bible, and they're not receiving the Lord's Supper, and yet they feel fine. My friends, they're not fine. They're far from it. Paul warns, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." My brothers and sisters, it is not the church on earth that gives us a firm standing. It's the Holy Spirit through the word about Jesus that puts us firmly in the holy Christian church. As long as we're on this earth, we are in for a fight. We're in the church militant. So I leave you, my young friends, the same way Paul left his young pastor associate, Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life in which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Imagine that you are a farmer. You've planted your wheat, and then when it sprouts, you notice that somebody actually planted weeds among the wheat. Ah, that'd be so disgusting. Imagine that you're a farmer. You planted your wheat. You watched it grow tall and full. But then when the harvest day came, you noticed that a lot of your wheat had turned into weeds. To discover that could happen would cause you to quit farming right then and right there. Here's the good news. Jesus isn't going to quit. He's going to continue to plant, to nourish, to water. A bruised reed he will not break. He will continue to gather us together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And he's going to continue to do that right up to the harvest. When you and I, for Jesus' sake, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Oh, I eagerly look forward to seeing that. And I eagerly look forward to seeing you there with me. Amen.